I'm Andrew Richardson, and this is the first of my suite of trauma release audios. This is the introduction, and I urge you all to listen to it more than once until what I am saying becomes really clear. And why do I say that? The first reason is that trauma is something that the majority of you will be living with, even though you may not yet know it. So you do need to understand why I say this. And the second reason is that the impact of your trauma, which you may very well not really appreciate that you have, will be having an effect on how well your life is not working for you, and so could be pushing you into depression. It follows that if your trauma can be identified and then cleared from your emotional brain, then the impact on your life could be, well, life-changing. But it is imperative that you spend a little time preparing yourself, because what is being offered in these suite of trauma release audios is profound, and as I say, potentially life-changing for you. But we are not playing here. And for you to spend time preparing and understanding becomes even more important. Now, in this first trauma release audio, you will be gaining a practical understanding of what trauma is and how it could be affecting you in so many ways. Then you will be learning the basic principles of the rewind method of trauma release before the third part, which I called diagnosis. This explains and amplifies the trauma questionnaire of the guide. This is where you can begin to appreciate how some of your unwelcome and disturbing past experiences and memories are impacting on you now. So, first, understanding. Second, the rewind method. And then third, diagnosing yourself. And I am hoping you are beginning to appreciate just how important it is that you do the necessary prep work now. When we are talking of active trauma, we are not just talking of an awful abuse or accident which can evolve into post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, or war trauma, which used to be called shell shock. Instead, these uncontrollable emotions can follow from experiences linked to loss of a loved one or cherished ambition, to school bullying, to emotional bullying by a parent 20 years previously, to the experience of panic attacks, to memories of humiliation, guilt, and even the experience of a past depression, and so much more. In my professional experience, the sources of trauma memories that stay active in the primitive brain is virtually limitless. The uncontrollable emotions of these trauma memories will then be activated by anything the primitive brain deems as similar in some way to the original memory, and would therefore be replicating the same threat as that first time. And this will impact in all kinds of indirect and damaging ways, as flashbacks, bad dreams, avoidance, and most of all, surging and strong emotions that are out of control. Indeed, uncontrollable and strong emotions could be part of the web and weave of your life, so that you don't really know that you are living with an active memory, and so you are just doing your best to get on with it. But these uncontrollable and apparently inexplicable states of high arousal are hijacking your emotions, rendering you incapable and scared and desperate. Your primitive brain, or amygdala, is in control. This is where your flight and fight response resides, at the base of the back of your head. Fight or flight is the automatic response you have when you perceive you are in danger. So your focus has narrowed to just what your primitive brain sees in front of you. You are then that steam train travelling straight ahead and have no time or attention for the passing view. Or maybe it is like looking through a letterbox. All you can see is that hall carpet and everything else is unseen. So, what trauma is the unwelcome and periodic activation of our natural survival system, the flight and fight response, when it is not needed because there is no threat, and where the impact of this false activation can spread like a virus into other parts of our lives. Now, it need not be like that for everyone. And for some who experience bad things, they can process this memory so that it is not activated when it is not needed. But for others, and normally those with a good visual imagination, it can just stay and fester. Think of a trauma like a kitchen fire alarm. We know that it can be set off when it is not needed, say by smoke from burning toast, or think of it as a pretty stupid security guard watching a TV screen of what is happening to you as your daily life unfolds. And if he is at all concerned, he simply presses the only button on his console, the bright red high alert button. And as he does so, he has no concern at all for the false alarms he might be activating. Better safe than sorry. The fact that he is wrong and that the warning templates are faulty and there is in fact no threat at all is of no interest to the security guard. You're still alive, right? Well, what more do you want? Before finishing this part of the audio, it is worthwhile reminding us all about the role emotions play in creating a life that works, and how trauma fits in. Emotions are the fuel that drives action. That is the key point. Having understood that human beings are living entities that spend their existence in taking action to get essential needs met, it is the emotion that flows and courses within us that is the energy that drives that action. You could say that without emotions, there would be no movement at all, and we would not be alive. Emotion is the expectation and priming for action. That is a good way to see it. The word emotion gives the game away. It is about motion and movement. So healthy anger is the expectation that you will have to defend yourself in response to a perceived threat, and fear is the movement away from a threat, and the looking forward to a pleasure is the opening to relaxing and enjoying, and disappointment is the gearing up to be evaluating and coping with something that will not be working, and so on. Emotions can also be understood as an information system that transmits signals to our action centres so that we can respond to what we find in the environment, or as potentially subtle and sophisticated sensors that connects us to our processing system that takes in what is needed to take in order to make sense of what is happening out there. And it all works by pattern matching. That is metaphorical pattern matching. We all understand the infinite variety of the world by seeing it as being like something else. And this like is stored as a pattern in our unconscious memory bank. And as we make a connection with this pattern, an emotion will arise to communicate to us intuitively, if you like, so that we can make sense of it and, it, if necessary, act on it. Pattern matching is the means by which we can make sense of what is happening to us in our environment. By matching that up to what we have already processed and stored before, pattern matching is always metaphorical, as we will never have been able to exactly replicate what is now happening from our past experiences. What we have stored is like what is happening now. And the crucial aspect of pattern matching is that all matching is tagged by an emotion. And in the case of trauma, this tagging is crude and strong, such that it overwhelms us, like a terrible storm at sea. Okay, let's talk about the rewind method. The rewind technique will correct these faulty templates in the vast majority of times it is used, so that the fight or flight response is only triggered in the event of real danger. And my experience is that there is rewind work needed in well over half of my clients. So what is rewind? Well, it is a trance method refined by the founders of the Human Givens approach, and the three key elements of rewind are as follows. First, activation of the memory. This simply means that the fearful or angry feeling from the memory must be present in your body now, though by no means with full intensity of the original memory, and this is normally easy to do just by recalling it. Second, deep relaxation. This will become increasingly accessible to you as you work through my relaxed suite of audios. The point is that when you are relaxed, you can begin to work with the trauma memories without getting highly aroused. And third, a dissociated and odd and unexpected rehearsal and revisiting of the memory. This has the effect of shifting the memory from the crude limbic system, the amygdala, so that it can be held with low levels of arousal attached to it. Now, removing traumatic memories using rewind typically lightens and shifts moods. And from this, new and empowering change is not just possible, but inevitable. And after the rewind has been completed, powerful visualization and rehearsal work is also possible. This can either rehearse beneficial change or work in other ways to enhance future possibilities and resources. And now, diagnosis. What kind of trauma might you have? The exact nature of the pattern matches which are not working. Well, these are the questions that you need to ask and which you will find in the accompanying guide and questionnaires. 1. Is there one memory you have that stands out very clearly? Of loss, of humiliation, of fear? And is it distinct and one-off and limited in time, with a clear beginning, middle and end? Or does that memory seem to spread over a period? A bad time at secondary school, or watching the slow breakup of your parents' marriage, or periodic and persistent physical or emotional abuse directed to you, or anger, and then you just had to endure it? Indeed, maybe it appears to you like a memory of a series of separated traumas. It might, though, include one or few specific memories that seem to be representative of the whole awful time, or It might present as a general feeling of pressure and fear spread over associations at home or at school, for example, that extends for years. Or it could be for you like a number of apparently different memories, but all bound together and connected in some way. Finally, it might be that you have tried very hard to suppress the memories with what you believe is some success, albeit that you are wrong to believe this, and certainly you do not wish to revisit it. So there is a lot here, and only you can know how it is for you, but you will know that this period, which perhaps extends over many years, was hard, or even worse than that. 3. You then need to know how clearly you can see these trauma memories. How good is your visual recollection? Or is it more of a feeling? And 4. Then what happens if you sense that something might be there that happened at that time, but there is no memory that is clear or obvious? Are you aware of feelings that seem to arise for no good reason, and this bewilders you? Next, is it a fear of a depression itself that you remember in some detail of a past depression, and that when you back into those circumstances and time, it is truly terrifying? Finally, are the fears and the emotional hijacking fueled by anxieties of the future, of scary what-if scenarios that play out all the time and keep you stuck? Well, depending on what comes up for you when you ponder these questions, and of course how clear-cut the answers seem to be, then this is what you need to do next. If it is a single incident over hours or days or maybe weeks, then listen to the TR2 straightforward trauma. You know about it. The imagery is clear and you can go back to the memory easily and re-experience the feeling. You probably don't like to do that. In fact, you spend a lot of your time trying to avoid it. I would also encourage you to use this second audio to test the process out and so gain confidence and belief that it will work for you. So is there a memory that is not a trauma, but that does create unpleasant feelings when you recall it? A difficult meeting, an unpleasant holiday, a long way to an airport, or for an exam result, or the thought of a time when someone you disliked? Anything that will do. Use that memory to test the rewind method. So TR2, the second audio in my suite of trauma release audios, should be your next port of call unless you are clear that it is not right. And then it might be that the third audio, TR3, extended trauma, is the right one. This is to clear memories that extend over months and years. Often they are in childhood, but they need not be. Let me give you some examples from my case file of where this third audio may be the place to go next. I worked successfully with a soldier, for example, who was under siege for a couple of months in Basra. Another was a young man whose childhood was full of memories in Nigeria, from age 5 to 15, when he left home, living with his violent father. A third example, which may resonate for you, is of a young girl who was left alone for large parts of her childhood, as her parents simply ignored her. And then there was a middle-aged woman who came to see me, who as a young girl had memories of periodic sexual abuse by an uncle. But, and this is often the way, it was not so much the abuse that had stayed with her, but the complete absence of support from her parents. So there may or may not be specific memories around specific incidents, but the emotion is powerful when you go back to that time. There is another way in which the period may be present to you, where the fourth of the trauma release audios, TR4, confused trauma, is the place to go next. This is where you can go back to a period in your life where the overwhelming feeling is of confusion, that all kinds of memories can stand out for a time, but none stays clear and strong. I remember that this was the case for a young man who had endured years when his emerging homosexuality was kept hidden and a source of shame. Or perhaps the overwhelming feeling for you as you sink into or endure another depression is the memory of your first depression, just how bad it was, either because of the circumstances at that time or the horror of the memory itself. If so, listen to TR5, Depression Trauma. Or is the fear you endure not so much linked to past memories, but to fearful projections of the future? Then go to TR6, Future Trauma. And finally, it could be that the strong negative memories that you suspect are lurking there are difficult to identify, in which case go next to the final audio of my trauma release series, TR7, Hidden Memories. That audio does not include its own trauma release trance tools, but connects you to the next set of audios, Clearing Patterns. Well, there has been a lot I have talked about in this audio, so I do want you to listen to it a number of times so that it is making sense and you are getting an idea of the nature of your trauma, if indeed you have them, and where you should go next. And complete the questionnaire in the guide. This will set you up for the trauma release audios that follow. But before I finish, here is a word of caution. We are talking of powerful past memories, and there is no doubt that sometimes they can have no clear beginning or end and are tied up in your head in a complex way with lots of other aspects of your life. So sometimes it cannot be disentangled, even if you focus on using the much more flexible TR3 audio, Extended Trauma Memories. And it can happen that you can experience a strong reaction. And if so, then you must stop wherever you have that sense and proceed very gently to the Relax Suite and then to the Clearing Patterns Suite. But if in doubt and you want to try the process out, then go to the second trauma audio, which is the straightforward trauma, and try it out with a lesser negative memory, perhaps a difficult family experience or an unpleasant encounter, that kind of thing. And be excited, not worried. You are close to transformational change. Thank you.